Please pray with me. Come, Lord Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. When I'm overwhelmed by something and my anxiety is high, well, of course, I break into a full body sweat. But I have a few solid go-to activities. A pacing, which makes everybody else anxious and looks ridiculous depending on where I am. Or I lay down, which could also look ridiculous. Or I pause and I let out a deep breath and I pray. And I use one of Annie Lamont's one-word prayers. And these are what she offers. Help, thank you, and wow. I usually start with yikes and then one of the next ones. But pausing and turning my feelings, my experience over to God, it really helps me. You know, our conversations with God, our prayers do matter. And praying, well, it brings us into a closer awareness of God's presence in our lives. And praying does not need to be complicated. After all, praying is just having a conversation with God. And there are no rules or procedures that we have to follow. In fact, words are optional. Just be with God. You know, in our worship, we pray for the whole world, all our concerns, and we have a parish prayer list. And the people on that list have called us. They need prayers for healing of body, mind, or spirit. And even after their crisis may be over, many people ask to stay on the list because life is too much for them to manage on their own. And our prayers lift them up and give them hope. So being on the prayer list is important. And praying for those on our prayer list is essential. Now, some of you will contact Reverend Jeannie or I and ask for really specific prayers for certain events. Some of you ask each other for prayers. And we pray for each other in all kinds of circumstances. We don't even need to know what the prayers are for, really. If one of us needs prayers, we can pray. Sometimes sharing a few details does help, but for the most private of us, you don't have to reveal anything. That's completely fine. Just ask for prayers. Well, and many of us pray for each other, well, because it's one of our main jobs as followers of Jesus. We pray because God loves us, and we believe in the power of prayer. Well, sometimes, though, praying doesn't bring about exactly what we want, and that can be very disappointing or disorienting. Yet God will always bring about what God wants. And primarily, that's for us to be in a closer relationship with God. Many of you have heard this story about a man who was asked, "What do you get by regularly praying to God?" And the man said, "Nothing. But let me tell you what I've lost. My anger, ego, greed, depression, insecurity, and fear of death." When we pray for someone, we're actively putting ourselves and the person we pray for into God's care. And we're admitting that we cannot achieve or experience something without God's help. And when we pray, we're following God's request to be in relationship with God, interconnected and dependent on God. Prayer, either what's memorized or off the top of our heads, is wanting God in our lives. And praying, well, it reminds us that we don't have to go through anything alone. Now, it's risky for some of us to share our vulnerabilities with another person. Yet, and you all know this, the moment you do, some of the weight is lifted. And when we turn our concerns over to God and fully accept, this is another hard one, that we aren't in charge anyways, it's difficult to accept that. We are actively following God's request to be in relationship, dependent and obedient to God. Well, our example on how to do this is Jesus. He is praying and conversating, having a conversation with God all the time. You know, and Scripture is full of moments where he prays publicly and privately. You know, often it's in the moment as life unfolds. We also hear, though, about Jesus purposely getting away, going to the top of a mountain to be alone with God. And in our gospel reading this morning, we are taken back into the middle of the Last Supper. And Jesus is doing this last great discourse. It's his farewell to his disciples, and he's praying for them. And he says to God the Father, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness to me. We are those people who believe because of the disciples' witness and all those generations after. Jesus was praying for us then, long ago, to be connected in love, well, first with God and with each other, and to be united in love, just like Jesus and God the Father. Did you guys get that? Jesus is praying for us. And as we pray to him, he prays for us. And not only is Jesus praying for us, he promised to remain with us through the Holy Spirit. So no matter what any of us are facing, we're not going through it alone. God is with us. So Jesus is praying that we, you and me, and everyone else, every person, will be united so that we consider ourselves one. Ooh, that's a tall order. There aren't many places where working towards that level of unity is promoted. I mean, there's so much dissension, separation, and division in society, in churches, in our families. Even in a team sport, there's so much pressure on being the best as an individual. It gets in the way of being united as a team. So, what examples do we have for that kind of unity? What does this unity look like? Well, our reading from Acts gives us an idea. So we have Paul and Silas. They're sharing the good news of Jesus, and they're out in the middle of a town, and they encounter this young woman who's a slave, who can foretell the future, and who brings in really good money to her owners. And then Paul, in the name of Jesus, orders that powerful spirit out of her. And as it says, and as all of us can imagine, that really wasn't a welcomed action by her owners. And so, of course, they take Paul and Silas to the authorities, and they talk to them, and they're humiliated, and they're beaten, and eventually they're put into jail for what is a public disturbance. Now, full of confidence of that they have God with them, they pray. And then there's an earthquake. God intervenes, the chains fall off, the jail doors open, and the chance to escape is real. It is so real that the jailer is in distress. I mean, what we have to know, that if they escape, the jailer is going to be considered negligent and inadequate for the job, and his boss can kill him. So, full of shame for his failure to keep these prisoners locked up, he gets out his sword and he prepares to kill himself. And here's that unexpected, amazing moment of unity that describe what God wants from us. Paul shouts out, "Don't hurt yourself. We're here." Paul and Silas choose to be in unity with the jailer, to remain with him rather than to escape, to save the jailer's life. They embodied God's idea of unity, of being in all of this together. And Paul and Silas choose the jailer's freedom over their own lives. Just like the event that got them in jail in the first place, when they chose to free the woman from her prison of slavery. They were willing to face the consequences of freeing her, knowing full well what would happen. When we live knowing that God is with us and we act with each other in mind, we embody this holy oneness that God wants, and Paul and Silas demonstrated. Now, the world may not repeatedly support us. In fact, the world probably tells us too often to be separate and to watch out for ourselves first. But God wants us connected, to be united, and to hold each other's concerns. God wants us to be aware of and to be living out the interconnectedness we all have with each other. Prayer is the way to live out that unity. When we pray for others, especially those we don't understand or we're in fear of, our common humanity rises to the surface. And don't doubt the power of praying for each other as a way to disrupt a system that wants us fearful of each other and tries to put each of us against every other person who's different. Paul and Silas acted in unity with the slave girl, with the slave girl, and with their jailer, even with all those risks. So this story about escaping from jail, or rather not escaping from jail, is about tearing down what divides us. It's about finding the commonness between us and replacing fear and distrust with acceptance and unity. And there is no way we can do this without God and prayer. And again, remember, when someone's not safe, we still pray for them, just from far away. There is power in praying for someone, and there is comfort in being prayed for. Jesus prayed for us, he prays for us now, and he'll continue to pray for us that God will unite us and heal our brokenness and bring us back together as one in love. So we pray for each other. Oh, and my Episcopalian brothers and sisters, we're going to pray for each other now. So be brave. We're going to do this. You can be specific, and you can give a few details, or you don't have to, but we're going to ask each other for prayer. I have a friend who texts me regularly with, "Prayer's needed." That's the first bubble. And then the next one, word or two will be, "It's chaos again," or her daughter's name, which I think those go together. And so without a lot of details, I pray. I just talk to God and ask God to give her exactly what she needs at that moment. And I'll also text her with my prayer requests. Recently it was for understanding. And then another day it was for courage. And both of those, probably God was thinking, "No, how about some humility?" But that's all I say, one word. I don't go into the details because that's between me and God. But I know my one word request will get my friend to pray. So we're going to pray like that now. Spend a moment and think of the thing you really need prayers for and get it down to, and this is hard, one word or maybe two. And then what we're going to do, and this might be really hard, we're going to turn around to people near us in groups of two or three. You might have to actually get up out of your pew and move. And if you don't know each other, introduce each other. And then every single person in each group of two or three or five, I don't care, you're going to share your one word request. Okay? One word. And then, don't discuss it, just that one word. And now here's the hard part. As a listener, you don't get to offer any advice or any solutions or to say, well, when I went through that, da-da-da-da-da, you're just going to listen. Okay? This isn't a time for conversation. We are going to take a time to actually, literally, hold a concern in our hearts and offer it up to God for someone else. Okay? So, how many words do you get to say? Do you get to give advice? Do you get to go off into a story about what 10 years ago when you went through that? No. We're just going to hold the request, all right? That's the power. You don't need the details, and you don't need to solve it. We're just going to hold each other's concern in prayer. And we're going to be, after you share, which should take about a nanosecond, it is hard, I'm telling you the details, because I know everybody here. We're just going to be quiet, and then I'll say amen, right? And you guys are not exempt. So now, you might want to talk to someone who isn't your sibling, or you could talk to your sibling, but you can't shake your head no at me. And Uzzah, you know how to pray, so I've heard you pray. So again, take a moment. Think of that one thing. And then turn around, find someone, every person in the group, share the one thing. And then we'll sit in silence, holding each other up in prayer. You can do this. One word. If you want to hold hands, you can. I see a group here already doing that. But no, you don't have to. Did this group over here find somebody? Okay. All right. So hold it in silence once you have it. And in your hearts, silently hold that concern for that person and give it up to God. Amen. Amen. How hard was that? Well, now that you've done it, it's old hat, right? Because as Episcopalians, if you do it once, it's now tradition. You know, Jesus is praying for us. We can pray for each other. We can turn to God in times of silence with words. Or not. We can choose to be connected and dependent and reliant on God. And we can have more people hold us up. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Praying addresses the longing in our souls." Praying addresses a longing in our souls for intimacy with God and with each other. Praying helps us to be united in love, just as Jesus asks us to be. Amen.